Saskatchewan, and happy Independence Day to our American friends and neighbors. July 4th celebrations, big time all across the United States tomorrow. I got good memories of July 4th celebrations as a kid because I grew up just about on the Manitoba-North Dakota border. And I think of July 4th, we'd go across the border, which was a lot easier process in those days. And you'd see the big fireworks display, and you'd eat all those chocolate bars that you couldn't buy in Canada that they had only in the United States. Good memories. I went to school for a year down in Minneapolis as well in the early 70s. And I've got family that have lived in the U.S. for, well, pretty well all their lives down in Arizona. So I'm thinking of them today. I know they're going to be out celebrating as well on this Independence Day. We got a lot going on here on the Evan Bray Show. Good morning. It's Brent Laux with you. Happy to be filling in this week. Evan's back in the chair next week. In just a moment, we'll hear from Mike Tate, the CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce. After 9 o'clock this morning, we check in with Dr. Saqib Shahab, our Chief Medical Health Officer for Saskatchewan. A little bit on the plate we want to talk to Dr. Shahab about what's happening with measles numbers in the province. They've also want to talk about health warnings, advisories relating to lakes and that. And we also want to get an update as to this latest strain of COVID. I'm not sure if it's really all that widespread here, but just in my own experience, I think my wife had it here over the past couple of weeks because she had just a ripping sore throat. Said it was like razor blades. And that seems to be the common symptom that you see people talking about. So we'll just get some thoughts from Dr. Shahab on that. That's after nine here this morning. Zeba Ahmed is here. Zeba is CEO of the Saskatoon Public Schools Foundation. And there is a push on, I guess we could say it, to get more and more schools to offer full day kindergarten classes. There are some kindergarten classes in some schools across Saskatchewan that do the full day. Not all of them, though. And Zeba Ahmed will talk about why she thinks it's a good thing that people should consider encouraging your school boards and such to try to get more schools offering full day kindergarten. Bugs and Hugs. Of course, it's Friday. That means an hour of your bugs and your hugs just after 10 o'clock this morning. Anything bugging you? Or have you got a hug that you'd love to send out? That's what it's all about. You'll be able to text or call. Of course, you can do that anytime at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Belton Johnson is in on Friday morning. It's eating time. He's got a bit of a theme going. Last week, we had some jalapenos. We got more jalapenos in his recipe this week. We'll look forward to that with Belton Johnson for the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association after 11. And we've got a couple of authors to round out our program after 11 o'clock this morning. Happy that you're with us here. Again, anything on your mind, love to hear from you at 1-877-332-8255. Figured this would be a good opportunity to check in with Mike Tate, the CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce. Lots on the plate in downtown Regina these days. And Mike, you've been in this role now for just 6 months. I have to ask you, you know, how's it been going for you?
I appreciate that, Brent. Thanks for having me on. I get asked often, and you know, I think there was a bit of uncertainty me coming in from the private world, and I absolutely love the role. It allows us to be the voice of our members, and you know, to be a bold voice for our city. There's a lot of work to be done, but there are some solutions out there that other municipalities have taken on. So we're just working together to put that in front of city and how we can drive forward.
Good stuff. Specifically, I wanted to talk to you about this new financial support program that's been put out there for businesses and property owners in downtown Regina. Can you explain the program and any sense of the early uptake on it?
Yeah, I don't have any sense on the early uptake, but I mean, ultimately, Brent, we welcome the launch of the City Center incentive program. I believe it's a tool with real potential, and we support initiatives that aim to drive investment into our city center. You know, a vibrant downtown isn't a nice to have, it's a must to have. And this makes it pretty easy. There's not a lot of red tape for private business to make investments, whether it's upgrading their storefronts or there's a 5-year tax break if you're going to do a redevelopment on a vacant lot or an old building. So there are some key areas. What it also does is it sends a message that Regina is open for investment. The city wants to see more people, more energy, and business in the heart of our city. It's critical.
And there's some grant money involved in this too, isn't there, which really helps?
Yeah, there are. There's grant money. There's tax incentives. You get up to $50,000 for a project to beautify your location. These are all helpful. They're liquid. They're accessible. They're relatively light on red tape, and they offer businesses a practical opportunity when deciding on whether to invest. So it's a step in the right direction. There's always more opportunity to do, but it's definitely a good step.
And we know that just about every major city out there has got challenges with their downtowns, no different in Saskatoon these days. From your position as CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce, how do you feel the situation is as it relates to downtown Regina, the business atmosphere there, and any of the social ills that may be there as well?
Downtown, and you're right, it's not just Regina, but downtown has its challenges. It's safety. It's, honestly, there's just not a critical mass of people downtown, and there's safety in numbers. When I look at downtowns with more vibrancy, I did get to attend an Oilers game during the playoff run, and I think of Edmonton. They've been offering broader tax tools like tax or incremental tax financing that have unlocked some major investments. They've been able to leverage a program called the CRL, which is a community revitalization levy, and essentially allows the city to borrow against future tax revenue for a designated area. So that enables upfront investment in infrastructure, streetscaping, and public spaces. It's really helped drive over $5 billion in private investment in their downtown core. So there are opportunities. I'm not saying that's the exact one. Perhaps it's not the tool for Regina, but the principle is important, Brent. When a city has a clear plan and the right tools in place, it gives industry the confidence to invest, and that's really what we're going to drive.
And, of course, you've got this strategic plan that you recently came out with running over the next 3 years or so. Talk to me about what that entails.
Our number one priority, and that came right from our members during our survey, is advocacy. That's our top priority going forward. We're working to identify key barriers and solutions, everything from zoning to tax financing and red tape. We're proud to be a bold voice for Regina and our members, and we're going to continue to work closely with the city and key stakeholders to keep the momentum going. There is some momentum downtown. You know, you look at some investments in the Globe Theater and 11th Avenue and Dewdney and Scarth Street. So it is going in the right direction. It's slower than we'd like to see it, but it is moving forward. And, a program like this is a step in the right direction, and we're looking forward to see the uptick.
Up in Saskatoon a few days ago, I had Jason Abig from the Chamber in Saskatoon on the program because he'd written a letter to Saskatoon City Council expressing concerns on the part of small and medium-sized businesses, mostly in downtown Saskatoon, where they're dealing with increased vandalism, having to hire security or install security systems. And the purpose of the letter, I guess, was more to inform the city as to the issues that they were facing as businesses and perhaps look for some kind of relief on these matters from the city of Saskatoon. Do you feel the situation in downtown Regina is as bad maybe as what we're seeing in Saskatoon?
Yeah, the word bad is interesting. I probably would say the city's well aware of the situation in downtown, and I think the key in this whole piece is the critical mass of people. And how do you create critical mass? You create it by investment. Mm-hmm. You know, in areas like the Yards and our broader downtown, they deserve the same kind of focused leadership. Public dollars are limited. We understand that. But a strong framework gives private sector the runway it needs to invest. And so this program is a great starting point. And, of course, we can look to other municipalities across our country to what's working and find the right framework that works for the city of Regina.
Talk to me a little bit about what the construction in downtown Regina, roadwork and such, has done for some businesses there. Is it creating problems, a challenge?
You know, it's not ideal. Of course, it's going to create problems anytime you choke out, you know, two major east to west roadways with 11th Avenue and Dewdney. It's a hard time. We did meet with the mayor a couple weeks ago. We had him at one of our events, and he did promise we're going to be having some patio beverages, you know, on 11th Avenue and Dewdney next year. So it's a tough time, and it's hard to have both of them choked out. However, it is investment in future infrastructure. And so we'll welcome any investment we can get.
Yeah, definitely. Every community deals with that. It's tough when you're having to see your business affected by construction, but at the end of the day, it will be better once it's all done. But have some businesses in that construction zone actually had to move out?
No, we haven't seen any move-outs yet. We've seen, businesses are taking it upon themselves to do whatever they can to offer access to parking opportunities on Dewdney Avenue, for example, or different maps highlighting to the public where to park or where to access our business. I was in Bushwhackers, for example, last week, and, you know, they said it's not down a lot. They're not, it's not dire straits, but certainly they are looking forward to the future.
Excellent. Mike Tate, CEO, Regina Chamber of Commerce. Now, in your role, of course, you've got to be positive all the time about the future. What's your sense right now as to the business climate, how things are feeling, and the status of kind of the mood, I guess we could say, in Regina, especially with downtown businesses?
Yeah, especially with downtown. What I would say the mood is I guess, slow optimism. It's not moving as fast as we'd like, but there are signs of developments. There are signs of progress, like I mentioned, with a world-class Globe Theater redevelopment. We've got the Square, we've got Dewdney Avenue and 11th Avenue being done, and Star Street redevelopment. So there are signs of trying our best to create infrastructure and create public access and public space to get that critical mass back. And I think that's the optimism that people have. I would say it's not going nearly as fast as we'd like to see, but I do know there's a massive uptake from the city in terms of council making these types of programs to spur that on. We've got a huge opportunity in our city, and I think the city recognizes that, but we've got a lot of work to do.
Mike Tate, I appreciate your time today. All the best and continued success in your role now as the CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce. Mike?
You have a great day, Brent. Thanks for having me on.
Interesting, too, that program that we talked about with Mike, the new financial support program for businesses and property owners in downtown Regina, providing up to $50,000 in matching grants and tax exemptions as well for up to 5 years. Just more efforts on the part of another city trying to rejuvenate their downtown, which a lot of communities are looking for these days. Good morning, Brent Laux with you. You're listening to the Friday edition of the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. You must be on the Blue Jays bandwagon by now, aren't you? Of course, for diehard Blue Jays fans, you know how this has been going. You know, a bit of a slow start to the beginning of the season. Even a month ago, if you looked at the Jays' record compared to, say, the New York Yankees, you'd be going, oh, boy, I don't know if we're even going to make a wild card playoff spot. And now the Jays are just on fire, like every bit of the Jays lineup. Every person in there is just doing amazing work. And George Springer, what can you say? So they swept the New York Yankees, 4-game series, won every single game in Toronto. Man, that was sweet. And there was some exciting baseball in there as well. But George Springer, my gosh, a couple of home runs again yesterday. Day before, what, 2 home runs? One of them was a grand slam. Like, there was some talk earlier in the season, maybe they should, or were considering trading George Springer. They would have a mutiny on their hands if they had any talk of trading Springer right now. And the young guys that they brought in, gosh, they're all just doing so well. And the neat thing about watching baseball games, you know, my wife and I love watching the Jays. And I'm not a baseball expert. And what I always find interesting is every once in a while, there'll be something happen in a game where you go, I didn't know that. You know, an obscure rule, something that'll happen. Two things happened in the game yesterday. Alejandro Kirk, the Blue Jays catcher, got called by the ump because he was too slow in getting his gear on and getting in position as they were ready to start the inning. And so he was penalized in that the New York batter, when he got up, was already ahead in the pitch count. They gave him 1 ball. So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. But the really curious rule that I'd never seen before, towards the end of the game, New York Yankees batter is up. He's got 2 strikes on him. The pitch comes in, and it happens so quickly. The pitch comes in, he gets hit by the ball, but in the process of getting hit, he also swung at the ball. So the Yankees player, you can just see the look on his face. He's like stunned when the ump says, you're out. And he's thinking, but I got hit. Don't I get to go to first base? And it was no, in the process of getting hit, he had also swung the bat and was called a strike, and he was out. Fun stuff to watch. So they're done with the Yankees. The Jays are now on top of the American League East. The Yankees and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay will be the ones to watch. Those guys are just amazing. They're just each a game back now of Toronto. And Toronto now is up against the three-game series beginning tonight in Toronto against the Los Angeles Angels. That'd be good. Angels always seem to play tough against the Jays. We can only hope for great things. And then CFL last night, man, the Stamps beating the Bombers. Our green and white Riders, the only undefeated team now. And they get ready on this bye week for next Friday night, taking on the Stamps at Mosaic. Good Friday morning. It is a good Friday morning, isn't it? We got some nice weather. Regina yesterday got up a 34. I think that was about the hottest place in the country yesterday. Saskatoon 30. Might see some rain shower activity at some point over the weekend. Thanks for joining us today on the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.